I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your New Testaments to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to address basically a single point in the lesson this evening. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be real short, but probably a bit shorter than at least the one this morning. But it's actually a further discussion of a point made this morning in the parable of the sower with regard to the second type of soil, which is the seed that fell on stony ground that had no root in and of itself. And as Jesus explained that in Mark chapter 4, he mentioned that when tribulation or persecution arises, because it has no root, it withers. And in looking at that discussion, it seems appropriate for us to be strong in our admonition of the seed that is sown on the wayside, strong in the admonition of individuals who are unwilling to consider the gospel of our Lord, unwilling to contemplate the reality of God and of His Son as Savior, and because of some prejudice or hardness of heart, an unwillingness to consider and to accept and heed the gospel of the Lord. It's likewise, I think, appropriate to give strong admonition to an individual who allows the cares of the world to choke out the word. It seems to me that that is a matter of will. It is a decision that is made to place the world as a priority above God. And individuals who determine to do that, we can certainly talk about individuals who are weak and are as a result of that susceptible to temptation. But it is a decision to embrace the world. There is no need for admonition concerning good soil that brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. But I think that there is a need for us to have some compassion upon those who wilt in the face of tribulation and persecution. Now, that's not to say that it's an acceptable thing. In fact, patience is something that is established as a result of persecution. It is a fact that an individual who is able to withstand trial and tribulation is an individual who has proven himself. And as we talked about this morning, one who is lacking in this, who allows such tribulation and difficulties to cause him to lose his faith and become unfruitful, that individual is indicating some defect with regard to his faith and heart. But trials and tribulations are facts of life. And some of us suffer more than others. In other words, I'm amazed at the ability of some to overcome certain aspects of their life, whether it be health challenges or circumstances, economic situation, whatever the case, I must confess, as I look at that, I would wonder how it is that I would be able to hold up under such duress and difficulty. And so there is a place for us to be compassionate toward those who suffer as a result of their faith or as a part of their faith. Having said that, what the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is a reality. That is that each and every one of us will suffer as a result of our faith. And that there is indeed comfort and consolation that can come to us as a result of the relationship that we sustain in Jesus Christ. And so that comfort and consolation is what I want to talk about a little bit in the lesson this evening. And we're basically going to be reading verses 3 through 7 of the text. These are introductory words. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And he says in verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," and then begins to talk a bit about God and about His Son Jesus as that means by which comfort and consolation can be given. So if you will, begin reading with me verse 3, go down through verse 7, and we'll make some comments on the text. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings with which we also suffer. Or if we're comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Now, there are a couple of things to note with regard to this passage. First of all, the emphasis here is the comfort that they can receive through the God of comfort, having reference to the Almighty. That this is accomplished as a result of the relationship that we sustain in Jesus Christ, and it is something that is helped along or assisted by our brethren. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But finally, I do want you to note, and we'll kind of start with this, in the end and the beginning, as it were. He talks in verse 4 about us being comforted in our tribulation, talking about us receiving a consolation. And that has reference to the consolation and comfort that we receive in our lives from day to day in the midst of our suffering and tribulation. But the word consolation, as it is used in verse 7 of the text, at the very end of this section of verses, is something that has a greater application. He says, we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. It's stated in the singular, and I think that it has reference here with that direct article V preceding it to the consolation or comfort that is eternal in nature. That is the full reception of the reward. And this is what I want to emphasize, first of all, as we get into our lesson. And that is that we receive comfort in the midst of trial and tribulation, and the realization of that ultimate consolation and comfort that will be ours if we endure. It is, as we alluded to in our lesson this morning, talked about it just a little bit, putting our focus not on the things on the earth, those things that are under heaven, but in its proper place, that which is to come. And as we contemplate that, as we focus on what is to come, and ultimately, in the end, there being comfort, it will help us as we are in the midst of the trials and tribulations of our life. Now, having said that, and we'll probably touch on that at the end of our lesson as well, I want you to just think for a few moments about what tribulation is. And I think that as you look at that term, at that concept in Scripture, that most often that is referred to as a conflict that arises or suffering that arises directly as a result of our relationship with Christ. That is because we're Christians. But when you look at Mark chapter 4 in the parable of the sower, the explanation that Jesus gave, he actually used two terms. He used the term persecution and tribulation. So there are two things there. They are not synonyms, though they are often interchanged in regard to usage. But persecution, we might say, is a subset of tribulation. It is a type of tribulation. And not all tribulation is as a result of persecution. So I think that it's important for us to note that as we live our lives on this earth, that there will be times that we will suffer, not even indirectly as a result of the fact that we're Christians. It is simply the lot of man to suffer. Christian or not, there are individuals who suffer from economic crisis. Christian or not, there are individuals who suffer because of health complaints or health issues. Christian or not, there are individuals who suffer as a result of the loss of loved ones. And those are three of the primary sorrows that we find in our lives. By no means exclusive, but at least illustrating the point. And so tribulation is something that each of us experience in our lives. We do as Christians, but those who are not Christians, they experience very much the same sorrows, just as a matter of living on the earth. Now, the difference between a child of God and one who does not have God is that they recognize that this life is not all that there is. And so there is some comfort as we contemplate that which is to come. But in this particular text, what the Apostle Paul indicates is that comfort or consolation is supplied to us specifically as a result of the relationship we sustain with Christ. And it is not something that is ephemeral or something that is metaphorical. It is something that is really there. In other words, there are things that we can rely upon There are individuals that we can rely upon to obtain comfort and consolation in the midst of our trial and tribulation. The first thing we want to note in this regard is the part that Christ plays in it. You'll notice there in verses 3 and 4, as he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies, God of comfort, comforts us in our tribulation." But notice in verse 5, he says, "As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, our consolation abounds through Christ." So here are the two terms that are used, and they're used throughout this section of Scripture, consolation and suffering. And as you consider what Jesus did as he came to this earth, he is known as a suffering Savior. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, prophesies the necessity of his suffering on our behalf, in our stead. So Jesus Christ suffered, and we are told that as we become a child of God, as we're converted to Christ, that we suffer as did he. And of course, suffering is the lot of Christians as a result of the antagonism of the world to the things of Christ. But it is not just a one-sided coin. It's not just suffering that we experience. It is also comfort that we have, again, as a result of the relationship we sustain with Jesus Christ. So it is through him that we obtain this comfort. And it has to do with relationship. It has to do with the acknowledgement and realization of the blessings that are ours in him. So there is that aspect of it. As we are converted, we have hope of reward. As we're converted, we change our focus from things on the earth to the things that are beyond. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, the privileges and heirship, come through Christ. In fact, in Romans the 8th chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that we are adopted children, that we receive that spirit of adoption by whom we cry out to God, Father, but we do so because of Christ, who is the only begotten of the Father, and we as adopted children become joint heirs together with him. So it has to do with relationship and blessing that we attain that gives us that comfort. It is important for us to be mindful of those things. If we take our eyes off the goal, if we do not fully realize what is accomplished for us in Christ Jesus, we don't have a full grasp of that, and it's not something that is constantly before us, then it is possible for us to lose our focus, to be overcome or overtaken by the trials and tribulations of life. But having said that, there is a second area that is referred to in the text whereby we can depend upon and receive specific help during the midst of trial and tribulation, and that is brethren. And the Apostle Paul here in this particular text uses himself, or the editorial we, he and his group, his fellow ministers in the gospel, as examples as to how this can be accomplished. You'll notice in verse 6 of the text, he says, "If we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation." So he talks about the sufferings that they experience, as well as the comfort or consolation that they experience as a result of their ministry and their standing with Christ, saying in both those cases that what happens to them serves as a comfort, as consolation and salvation for them. So you learn from the example of others. As you see how Paul suffered in his ministry, that gives you strength. Recognize, in effect, that if he can do it, you can do it. So there is some comfort that is found there. There is comfort that is to be found as we commiserate together. That's what empathy is. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and there is great comfort to be found in the midst of trial and tribulation when you recognize that you are not, in fact, alone, as we sometimes perceive ourselves to be, but that others suffer as do we. But the second part of this is the comfort that they receive in Christ is something that they can offer as well. And that consolation, that empathy, that sympathy, that effort that is made on behalf of others by a child of God is something that indeed helps the one who is suffering to get through those difficult times. Well, how do you do that? Well, there is the the lending of the hand to comfort, whatever is needful. It's something that is difficult to do. I've noted recently, and this is just an example that we could make note of, Brother Harry Osborne up at the 84th Street Congregation in Oklahoma City is going through a difficult time with his family. As we announced just a few weeks ago, he lost his sister, who had fallen into ill health, but her death was something that was very, very much unexpected. But at the same time that that was happening, his mother was in the hospital with some heart issues, and in fact, talking or reading an email that he sent just yesterday, is again in the hospital because of those heart conditions, going to have a heart catheterization done and has some other health issues. And then on top of that, his father is in great pain. Turns out he has compression fracture, very much like Sister Yvonne Staley suffered through and continues to suffer from to one extent or another right now. So that compression fracture is there. So he's not able to do anything. And so Harry's kind of in a situation to where it's all raining down upon him all at one time. So what do you say to an individual in a situation like that? Well, it's interesting that as he posted the information concerning the circumstances, asking for the prayers of Christians everywhere, they are offered up. So that's one thing that we can do. We can offer such prayers on behalf of one another. And those petitions are heard by God, and they give us great comfort. And we can offer ourselves as well. And I think sometimes that's the best thing. And it can be, in part, words. If there is anything that I can do for you, then please let me know. But understand this, that very often when trial and tribulation is experienced by Christians, they are loath to be a burden to brethren. And even if there are needs that are present, they're not going to often let you know about those needs unless they just become so difficult that they can't handle them. So there are ways to lighten the load by offering yourself to them. Not by saying, is there anything I can do, or if there is anything I can do, but actually taking the time to do something, whether it's be cooking a meal or helping with the housework or to go and hold their hand. Those things are very beneficial, and those things are very helpful in a way that we can help one another. But it all comes to this idea that, first of all, we have a compassionate Savior who suffered as we have suffered. Hebrews chapter 4 indicates that Jesus Christ, as our high priest, is one who can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It's as a result of that that we can go to him and we can petition him in the realization that he is sympathetic toward us. It has to do with the fact that as we are all brethren, those of like precious faith, with the same Savior and the same faith in God, that we have an affection for one another, a love for one another, and that common goal and love that should lend us to this close concern and care for one another. And it's through that, again, that tribulation can be endured, and consolation indeed can come. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is offering them: comfort in the midst of suffering, and the recognition of that ultimate salvation, and the realization that we all commonly suffer trial and tribulation in this earth. That it's not something to where we are ourselves out there on an island and no one experiences those things. It is a universal condition of man, a universal condition of the children of God. I would like you to note in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a number of exhortations given by the Apostle Paul as he draws this epistle to a close includes in verse 14 the admonition to exhort, admonition or exhortation to the brethren there to warn those who are unruly, which is, of course, an important thing. We might say the admonition concerning that we talked about concerning those who are taken up in the lust of the world would be an example of this. But notice the next two. He says, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, and uphold the weak. Comfort the faint-hearted and uphold the weak, especially with regard to those who are faint-hearted. And the realization that, again, it is a universal condition. There are times when each of us are beaten down by this life and by the difficulties of life. And when that is the case, it is the responsibility of others to be aware of it and to comfort them. And that is a way in which we can help individuals to be steadfast. Again, there's something that must be intrinsically within an individual to be good soil, to have that good heart that bears fruit. And as we alluded to, individuals who lacked the courage of their faith, the virtue that is indicated in 2 Peter chapter 1, they will not steadfastly endure. They will not patiently endure through tribulation and trial. But every one of us, from time to time, need help. And so when that is the case, it is incumbent upon us, you who are spiritual, for us to bear the burden of the weak, of the faint-hearted, and comfort them and help them. The Apostle Paul certainly wanted to do that to the church here at Corinth and offered himself in that regard. Now, having said that, I want to just make note finally of verse 7 in our text, where he says, "Our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." You'll notice the "you will partake" in the King James or New King James Version is supplied by the translators. I don't think that it adds or takes anything away from it, but it is a bit more concise to say, we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also of the consolation. And we need to understand and recognize that as a result of the relationship we sustain with Jesus Christ, again, we are partakers in his suffering. But there is, for us, the blessing of being partakers of the comfort or the consolation that is eternal in nature. And when we take up our cross, it is a burden we bear. And it is something, as we alluded to in our Bible class this morning, something that will lead to antagonism from those who are in the world. The world loves the darkness and hates the light. They hated our master, they will hate us. So antagonism is the end result of our decision to become Christians. It's there, but though we will suffer trial and tribulation as a result of our faith, there is comfort that is there as well. That ultimate comfort which is found in Christ Jesus. So I want to leave you with, again, a text from 1 Thessalonians, this time chapter 4. If you'll turn back with me to that place. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And we're going to be reading, beginning in verse 13 of the text, and going down through verse 18, where he begins to talk about our Lord's second coming. Now, ultimately, as we alluded to, the important thing here is to get our focus, lift our eyes beyond the horizon to look to what will happen, what will come after this life is over. And so he's talking about the end of all things in this particular text and what happens next. So as he discusses these things, he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have already died in Christ, "lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Now here's the distinction. Those who do not have God, they sorrow when they contemplate the end. As you consider those who have died, whose fate is set, who did not die as a Christian, did not die in Christ, there is reason for sorrow. But for those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, though they have done so before Christ has come, there's no reason to sorrow because the hope is theirs. And this is what he's emphasizing. "So don't sorrow as others who have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So what's going to happen? Verse 15. "We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now, you'll notice verse 18 of the text. He says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And I would assert to you that final consolation that is alluded to there in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 7 of the text. The final consolation, as we contemplate the suffering together with Christ, the final consolation is unveiled in these words that he wrote to the Thessalonians. The reason why we should be comforted and can be comforted despite all that happens in our life, and in fact, not only was he talking to those who are persecuted in Corinth, but his epistles to the Thessalonians, both 1 and 2, but especially the second, indicates another group of Christians who were suffering as a result of their faith. Why is it that we can be comforted? Where is the consolation that we have? It is in the realization that when Christ comes again, we, those who have died as well as those who remain alive, will rise up to meet him in the air, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. And that is a great consolation to us. It is a great comfort. And so it's not saying that if we live as a Christian that our life is going to be a simple or easy life. It's simply not so. Again, as I said, whether you're a Christian or not, there are a lot of things that happen in life that are difficult to handle. And there is that added burden of persecution as a result of the faith that you hold. The fact is, if we look beyond the grave, there is comfort. If we look to heaven and our ultimate abode with God, there is consolation. And that's where our focus should be. And we can help each other, brethren, and we certainly should. The Apostle Paul was desirous of helping, both by his example as he maintained hope in the midst of his trial and tribulation, but also his efforts to actually hold their hand and to express his sympathies to them and to pray on their behalf. There is much good that can be done, even in the midst of tribulation, as we contemplate that ultimate victory that will be ours in Christ. And so as we talk about those who are as the seed that falls on stony ground, we are right to say that there is reason for admonition. And if they are not steadfast, that ultimately it is their own responsibility because they lack the courage of their conviction. But brethren, it's hard to live this life. There are many, many difficult things that happen, both as a result of our faith and even as a result of living from day to day. So let us help each other. Let us remember the common salvation that we enjoy and the fact that we have that common Savior and that God who is a God of mercy and comfort. And let us always keep our focus on that which is to come and the hope of that day when Christ will return and where we will meet him in the air, and thus we shall ever be with him, be with Jesus in heaven. And we can have, I think, comfort as a result of those words. So we're going to offer an invitation at this time in the hope that all who are here have that hope and that consolation in Christ Jesus. But we are aware of the fact that not all have been obedient to the gospel of Christ, and it may be that there is one who has made the determination tonight to begin that walk. If you are that person and desirous of having the hope that others in this congregation enjoy, then repent of your sins, confess him as Lord, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. That in response to the faith that you enjoy in Christ Jesus will lead to your conversion. And being born again, you will have the hope of heaven. If you have faltered in some way, and by the way, since we're talking about trial and tribulation, it may be that there are some here who are beaten down at this point in your life. And if that is the case, then do not hesitate to let your brethren know. It is incumbent upon us to comfort you in your tribulation, to be a consolation to you. And we will help you in any way that we can, but we need to know of your suffering. And, I don't know of a single person here in this congregation who, if someone came up to them and said, I'm hurting and I need your help, would not be willing to do that. But I do know of some who are very hesitant to be the one to go and say, I need your help. And we don't mind other people burdening us, but we certainly ourselves do want to be a burden. And that's really an unhelpful attitude, because everybody needs help from time to time. And if you're here and you need the encouragement and prayers of the congregation, then the invitation is extended to you as well. If we can help you in any way to answer that invitation call, we offer it to you. Would you come? While together we stand, while we sing.